All right. My name is Frances Duke Moy, and I am interviewing Ms. Tabitha D. Visconti, and the date is February the 8th, 1979. Ms. Tabitha, how long have you lived in Farmville?
All my life.
All your life? Well, where were you born?
Well, my great-great-grandfather came over here from Scotland and took up a lot of land, and then his children, of course, fell after that land, and they all had homes here, so that's how I got to be in Farmville.
That's nice. Do you have brothers and sisters?
No. My brother and sister both died a number of years ago.
I see. And your parents are dead?
Yes.
Well, what did your father do for a living? Did he live in Farmville?
He taught.
He taught school?
Taught school.
Uh-huh. Well, where did he teach school?
He taught mostly in Mexico and Texas, I think.
Uh-huh.
He came over here from Italy.
I see. And that's how you got, your name is Italian, is that
yes.
right? Well, did he meet your father in Farmville? Your mother in Farmville?
Your mother. No, she went to Texas, and they met in Texas.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know, about I don't really know what year, but I was born 1890, so it was before then.
And you were born in 1890? What is your birthday? December the 20th, 1890. Is that right? Do you remember your mother? How old were you when
yes.
she died?
I was about 10 years old when she died.
I see.
She died very suddenly with a heart attack.
Were you living in Farmville then?
Mm-hmm.
But where were you living in this house?
Yes.
In this house?
Living right in this house.
Well, who built this house?
My grandfather.
And his
before
name?
Before the war between the states.
Oh. Well, how old is this house?
Well.
1860?
Or something like that.
I see. It was built by your grandfather. Was he a
James
May?
James W. May.
James W. May.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandfather. In the early 1860s. It's a very old house, and then isn't it?
Well, it's the only building in Farmville on its original site. All other buildings have either been torn down or moved.
I see.
But this is the only building in Farmville on its original site.
And the house has been occupied by your family all these years?
Oh, no. After my mother died, I went to live with my aunt, Mrs. Sue Mae Albritton.
I see.
And we lived with her until she died in 1908. And then my sister and Papa and I lived on together. And then he died in 1912, and we broke up housekeeping then and boarded.
I see. Well, when did you come to live here?
Well, I came back up here to live in 1931. That was when the Depression started, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been boarding at a number of places, but at that time, I was at the Davis Hotel.
Is that right? You lived at the Davis Hotel? And that building has been torn down now.
Oh, yes.
How long ago was it torn down?
I don't remember just when they tore it down. It's just been a few years. So.
That's right. In the 1970s, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When was the Davis Hotel built?
When? 1912, I believe.
Well, it was a grand place in its day, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It was real nice.
Did they serve meals at that hotel?
Oh, yes.
And people that came to visit Farmville stayed there.
Yes, the tobacco men all boarded there and their wives. And, of course, they had other boarders. Some of the teachers boarded there. And some of the people who worked uptown.
Mm-hmm. So it was a very popular place.
At that time, they had traveling men, you know, people who came to sell goods to the merchants. And, of course, all of the traveling salesmen stayed at the Davis Hotel.
Uh-huh. Well, that
and
is...
And I remember one instance. This man walked in one day and, we all almost fainted. We had heard he was dead. He had been very sick and had died. And we were so surprised when he walked in, he didn't die.
Oh, that was a surprise, wasn't it? Well, what was life like when you were a young girl as compared to today? Things are quite different today, aren't they?
Sometimes when I give a program on Fauville to younger folks, I'll say, how would you like to live in a town that had no picture shows and no Coca-Colas and just no form of amusement? You just had to make your own amusement.
Well, how did you make your own amusement? What did you do?
Well, we'd go on hay rides and I don't know, ride horseback. And
did you used to ride horses?
Oh, yes. We had a horse and a mule and a pony. And so we rode all three of them. Well, the horse went so fast when we drove her that our aunt wouldn't go with us. We had to always drive the mule.
Oh, and you had hay rides. Did you ever go to other towns to visit?
Well, some. We went over to Greenville sometimes and Wilkerson.
But it was sort of hard to get around, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, you had to go by horse and buggy, you see.
That's right. So you traveled mostly by horse and buggy. Nobody had cars, is that right?
No, Dr. Patrick had the first automobile. He came as a doctor. And the,
what year was that, do you remember?
I don't remember just what year he came, but I remember he had this automobile and would scare the horses to death. But I think a lot of times the person with the horse was more frightened than the horse because they thought, sure, the horse is going to get scared and run away, you know.
That's right. That's right. Well, things certainly have changed today, haven't they?
They really have.
What can you see as the biggest change today compared to
years
ago?
Well, of course, electric lights and paved streets and a lot more industries here. The town was very small. I think there were just about 15 houses here to start with. Well, one woman, Sally Williams, lived over there where the Western Auto Store is, and lived alone in a log cabin. And she was a member of Primitive Baptist Church, I believe.
Was that the first house? Was that the first house?
That was the first building here. And I think probably she might have had to walk over to Tyson's Church to go to church.
Where is Tyson's Church?
It's on the Stanisburg Road, turn right at Jonah's Crossroads.
That was a long trip.
Well, people didn't mind walking then, you know, they walked everywhere.
That's right.
They had to. They had no way to go. Unless they did go on horseback, or probably did have a horse that they could drive themselves.
Mm-hmm. Was Marlboro settled before Farmville?
Well, yes, I think so.
There were houses there. And
someone said that Marlboro wouldn't sell their property so the town could grow. And so they began buying lots over here. And the business came over here.
I see. Well, did your grandfather have one of the first houses in Farmville? Is this one of the first houses that we're in today?
Well, now, the first building in Farmville, the second building, was the Christian church. My grandfather gave an acre of land for to build a church, and it was called Antioch then, I believe. And they, of course, used that for years. The churches. The church at that time had two doors. It was a wood building. Had two doors. The men and boys went in on one side and sat, and the women and girls sat on the other. And it was about maybe 1892 before they began sitting together.
Where was this church located?
Right there where the old church is. I mean, where the church is now.
I see. And when they built this church in 1909...
They sold that church or gave it, I don't know which, to the Negroes. And they moved it over to Negro Town.
I see.
But they made just one door. They didn't have two doors. And the church is still over there.
That old church
was built in 1854.
The first church in Farmville, Christian church.
Mm-hmm. And then I believe the next church was the Episcopal church.
Episcopal.
Mr. A.D. Hill and his wife, Louisa May Hill, gave the lot for that church.
Tell me about the Christian church, Mr. Beaton. Was it struck by lightning one time?
No, that was the Episcopal church that was struck by lightning.
The Episcopal church?
Uh-huh, that was a frame building too. And then they built the brick building.
I see.
That they now have.
And what year was that? That the Episcopal church that was built? It was in the early
1900s. I believe it was.
1913. That's a pretty old church then.
And the present church was built in 1919 and 1920.
I see.
And then the Primitive Baptist Church was built in 1900. And Mr. R.L. Davis gave the lot and built this building for them. He wasn't a member of the church, but he gave the property and built the church. For the Primitive Baptist.
Well, let's talk a little bit about politics over the years in Farmville. Politics.
I can't talk so much about that.
Politics is not as interesting as some other areas, is it?
My grandfather was one of the first commissioners.
Mr. May.
Uh-huh. Mr. Belcher, the town was incorporated in 1872, and the state legislature was in session at that time, so they asked to have the town incorporated. And grandfather James W. May and Mr. Belcher and Mr. Lang, and I believe I've forgotten the other two now. I remember when they had the 60th anniversary here that they put out trees in memory of both of them on Belcher Street down by the schoolhouse.
That's right. Tell me about the railroad that was in Farmville, that is in Farmville.
Well, the East Carolina came first, and they built that from Tarver, and it went on, I think it went to a hooker, but somehow it wasn't used so much that way. But I remember the mail came by the East Carolina Railroad, and a Negro man would walk to the station and bring the mail, a sack of mail down on his back, and then finally they brought it on a wagon. And then after the Norfolk Southern was built, the mail came in on the Norfolk Southern. But before that, the mail was carried from here to Wilson. A man drove his horse, and and had a buggy, you see, a horse hitched to a buggy. And so that was the way he carried the mail. He went by Boston Brook and Saratoga and all that way.
Did you get mail every day?
Well, I think so.
So somebody went every day to Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was school like back in the days that you were growing up?
We had there was a school was built where the beauty parlor is Walnut and Wilson Streets, right down that corner where that filling station, well, it was a filling station, but what is it? Happy something is like
the Happy Store. That was a school there.
There was a school built from just women. No men went. And then during the war, I believe that was closed. But it reopened after the war between the states. And both men and women could go.
I see.
And so that was very important. And I think Farmer seemed to be, well, it wasn't named Farmer then, of course. I believe they said it was named Newtown. But after it was incorporated, they decided to name it Farmville.
Wonder why
it was
they...
such a good farming section here.
It was an obvious title for a name then, wasn't it? And that was the first school where the Happy Store sits now, on the corner of Wilson and Walnut.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that building was finally sold to Mr. Mrs. Moses Horton, and they ran a hotel bar. And then it was changed to a boarding house, an apartment house, I believe it was. And finally it was destroyed, just torn down like they do all old buildings now. The idea seems to be destroy rather than to restore.
At one time then, Farmville had two hotels, the Davis Hotel and the Horton Hotel.
Oh, no. The Davis Hotel was built after that.
Were they both operating at the same time as hotels?
No, I don't think so. They had a one-room...
Mr. Beaver, let me ask you, where was the next school after the school on the corner of Walnut Street and Wilson Street? Where was the next school?
They had a one-room school that was on the corner of Belcher and Main. And I don't remember how long that school was there, but that's where I went to school first. Was at this little one-room school of theirs. Well, I think most all the schools around this section were just little one-room schoolhouses, you know. Mm-hmm. And then after that school, they finally about, I believe it was about 1927, they built a large brick graded school, they called it.
Grades 1 through 12. Or 1 through 11. That school has been torn down now. It was taken down last year, 1978.
That was torn down last year.
Well, that was quite a large school to be built there in place of that one-room schoolhouse, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was a nice large structure.
I objected to it seriously like a lot of other people did. I just didn't think right was to tear that building down. Other places, they take a building that way and turn it into something useful. And I feel like that it's much better to do that. There was a school before that one, though I forgot about this wood building that was built, a two-story building. And that was the school for a long time until they built the brick building.
I see.
But the oven was a wood building.
Well, Farvel has had many schools in its short history, hasn't it?
Well, yes. You see, we have 4 schools here now.
That's right.
And
well, what about the schools for the black children?
Well, they had their separate school. I believe they took the old building, the old wood building, and built a school over for the Negroes. I don't know where they had been in school before. I really don't remember that far. And then they built a brick building for the Negroes. And of course, then they sent the Negroes to the white schools and white folks to the Negro schools.
That's right. That's been one of the changes that has come about in the years that since Farmville has been started.
Now, you see, they have our central school and middle school and Sam Bunny school and H.B. Sugg school.
That's right. That's right. Mr. Beatha, tell me a little bit about the industry that has come to Farmville in the years that you can remember as a result of tobacco.
Well, I think that meant a great deal to this community, was having the tobacco warehouses. It gave people something else to do and another way to make money. And of course, I think before they had grown cotton mostly. Well, they used to have to take their cotton, and as well as things that they would sell here in the stores to some bluff that was near Falkland, and they have to haul it over there with wagons, with mules or horses hitched to them, use the mules.
So after they stopped,
and the tobacco warehouses, of course, meant a lot to the community. It caused more industries to start, and it really meant a lot to Farmville.
Sure.
And then we had started this economic council, and Tommy Willis came here as to take charge of that.
So cotton was once a very important crop to Pitt County and to Farmville, and then tobacco has become king.
Mm-hmm. It really meant a lot. I think it would be nice to say something about our fire department.
Of course, so.
Long time ago we had a fire, people would run to the fire and have to take buckets of water and throw on it. Well, you can't do much with a few buckets of water if it's a big fire. But we do have a wonderful fire department now, and it has meant a lot to the town.
It certainly has. Mr. Beatha, I have always heard stories about how good you were to the World War II.
And they would, of course, come every weekend. And I still hear from several of those boys.
Is that right?
One of them called me last week.
Well, they're not boys anymore, are they? Huh? They're not boys anymore, are they?
No, they're grown and married and have grandchildren now. They are certainly not boys anymore, but I still call them
They're
my
still
boys.
Your boys, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Beatha, you have done so much for our town. There's just no way that we can pay you back for all that you've done. You have helped with the blood mobile. Not only helped, but you've organized it.
I really didn't organize it. I was asked when the World War II started to help with the American Red Cross. And so I've been doing that since 1942. I believe it's 42. And the blood mobile does come about twice a year. And I use to get up the folks to work. And
that's a very important job. Miss Tabitha, let me ask you, how did the war, World War I and World War II, affect the citizens of Farm?
Well, I think most everybody felt very patriotic, and of course so many of our boys went over to fight, and it meant a lot to them to do that much for their country, and we were of course very proud of that. I remember during World War I that they made them sweaters and scarves and a lot of different things for them, and we made bandages, and we watched from airplanes. We had a regular, that was all well organized so that women would go out to the park. That's where we watched most of it, to see whether planes were coming over or not. And it was just so many things like that would be.
You know, that's something that people don't understand, I don't think. How we really, people watched the skies to see if planes were coming, enemy planes, over our town, over our state, over our nation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really is interesting to know about that. Well, Mr. Beaver, this has been a very interesting afternoon conversation with you, and we certainly do appreciate you talking with us on the tape this afternoon. I'm sure that it will be appreciated and enjoyed by many people for many years to come.
I was just happy to do it. If I'd have had your questions before you came, I think I could have done a better job.
I think you did a fine job, and thank you so much.